There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire. Comes a storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus. He walks on the water, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion. Led as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hands. Jesus,
Messiah,
Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. My Redeemer, there is power in your name.
Messiah, oh
Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer. There is power in your name, in your name.
You walk
on the water, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. Led as a lamb, you carry my healing in your hand.
God,
you walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as a lamb. Carry my healing in your hands, Jesus.
There is a name, sing that again.
There is a name I call in times of trouble.
There's a song.
There is a song that comforts in the night.
There's a voice.
There is a voice. That calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus.
Who walks on the water?
Who walks on the waters? Who speaks to the sea? Who stands in the fire beside me?
Oh,
he roars like a lion. He bled.
God, you walk
on stand in the fire beside me.
Roar as a lion.
Do you roar like a lion? You bled as the lamb. You carry my healing in your
hands. You walk on the water.
God, you walk on the waters. You speak to the seas. You stand in the fire beside me.
Thank you, Lord.
You roar like a lion.
And you bled in the
land. As the land. You carry my healing.
Sing it again.
Your hand.
God, you walk on the waters.
You speak to the seas. You stand in the fire beside me.
Lord, you roar like a lion.
You bled as the lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. Jesus, there is no one like you. There is no one like you.
Come on, give him praise in this house this morning. He walks in the fire beside us. He walks on the water with us. He's right there in the middle of every situation. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He'll go with us all the way to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He's the fourth man walking in the midst of the fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just sing that chorus. Just the voices and the piano.
You walk on the water.
Come on, sing it.
You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me.
You believe that?
You walk like a lion. You bled as the lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. You walk on the waters. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as the lamb. You carry my healing in your hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you.
Lord, there is no one like you. Thank you for being with us in every circumstance, in every situation. There's some people here this morning, Lord, who've been through some trying things in their lives. But I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in the midst of all of it. And I thank you that they can rise up and praise and worship today and say, God, you were good, you were faithful, you've been with me through it all, and you will continue to walk with me in the days ahead. That's how faithful you are, Lord. You will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We invite your power and presence in the remaining of this service today, that your will would be done. Your will would be done through the proclamation and the reception of the word, that it would fall on good ground, Lord. Prepare our hearts, every heart in this place, prepare it now, I pray. That the seed of the word would take root. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that every person would realize here this morning that you're here to help them. You're here to save them. Not just from their sins. We know that you've come to do that, Lord. We thank you for that. You've come to save us from circumstances, situations. You've come to save us from ourselves, Lord. Hallelujah. You've come to save us to the uttermost. If we would just call on you, if we would just cry out to you, because you're more than willing and able to do the work that needs to be done in us. Thank you for your anointing now. Send a powerful, heavenly, supernatural anointing. May it rest in this place even now. May the glory of God fill this sanctuary. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, I want you to stand with me for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Mark 10 and 46. The word of God declares, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Everybody say that. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, praise God. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You may be seated. Thank you for your prayers. I want you to imagine this scene with me today. Try to imagine with me this mass of people following Jesus wherever he went. They were talking continually, asking questions, seeking favors, marveling at his teachings and at the miracles that he had already performed. Excitement filled the air. The crowd could be heard from a great distance away, and Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road. Perhaps he was in a ditch, if you will, hearing the noise of this passing crowd, and raises the question, what's this noise all about? And someone informs him that it's Jesus passing by. You mean Jesus of Nazareth, the man that they claim that can heal the sick, the man they claim that can open blinded eyes? Are you talking about that man? Yes, that's the one that I'm talking about. But I can just imagine maybe someone in the crowd saying, but you don't have a chance of getting to him. You don't have a chance of him listening to you. You don't have a chance of getting to where he's at. You're in no condition. He's not going to pay attention to someone like you. And as the crowd came closer and closer, excitement filled the air. The noise became louder and intensified, and dignity was dismissed. Let me just stop right here long enough to ask this question. How many of you know that when you get desperate enough in your life, desperate enough in a situation you're facing, desperate enough in an illness, or desperate enough in an emotional trauma, or desperate enough in your pain and your agony, it could be physical pain, when you get desperate enough for a breakthrough of God's power in your life, when you really need help, dignity is thrown out the window. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what they might say. You really don't care at that point, because you have a need. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you get desperate enough, you get desperate for God enough, you won't care if somebody sees you lifting your hands. You won't care. care if somebody sees you and lifting up your voice. You will just offer a praise and a worship because of how good and how great and how powerful He is. You'll get your mind off what other people are saying and what they're thinking and what they may be feeling and what the devil may be trying to say to you. And you'll get your eyes on Jesus and you'll start lifting up a praise, and there'll be an excitement that begins to surge within your spirit again, and you'll know that Jesus is coming down that dusty road again. He's coming to lay His hand on you. He's coming to help you. He's coming to strengthen you in that moment of need. I'm telling you, we've got a God who still cares. He's coming. The promise is coming down the dusty road. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands and give Him praise. Give Him glory and honor. Hallelujah. 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 I just believe Bartimaeus was saying, this is it. This is my chance. This is my hour. I have waited for days. I have waited for months. I've waited for years. I've waited. I've hoped. I've anticipated. I've thought, is there any hope for change in my life? I mean, I've been blind for so many years. Everybody talks about the sun rises and the sun sets, and everybody else gets to see the wonderful colors, and they talk about this and that, and I'm just kind of isolated all by myself, and I've been sitting by this road, and if somebody doesn't come along and help me, I don't have anything to do. I don't have any way to make it. I'm dependent on somebody else to give me alms. I'm dependent on somebody else every single day. I guess this is the way it's always gonna be. But when Jesus started coming by and he got word of a miracle worker, he got word of somebody who can bring about a miracle, hope and faith begin to rise in his spirit. Hope, I'm telling you, we don't have anything unless we've got hope. Hope began to rise. This is it. This is my chance. This may be my last chance. I may never see Jesus again. I want to be healed. Seeking to drown out the noise of the crowd because it was so noisy, he had to speak very loudly. He had to cry out with a loud voice. Again, when you get desperate enough, you don't care what people think. You need help. I'm thankful I know somebody who can help you today. There's somebody here who can help me today. His name is Jesus Christ. So he began to yell at the top of his voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, hey man, you need to calm down a little bit. You're making too much noise. There's so many others that you don't stand a chance of getting to Jesus. He's not going to pay any attention to you. Just relax and keep quiet. But the more they tried to keep him quiet, the word says the louder he got, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Hey, over here. Hey, I'm over here. Jesus, have mercy on me. Ever felt like saying that? Everybody else seems to be getting a blessing. Everybody else seems to be getting the Holy Ghost. Everybody else seems to be getting a miracle. Everybody else is getting the showers of blessings poured down. But what about you? Sometimes you got to cry out and say, oh, God, I'm over here. And three of the most powerful words uttered in Scripture, I believe, are in verse 49. Look at what he said. And Jesus stood still. The crowd was ready to keep on marching on, but Jesus stood still. The crowd was trying to get Bartimaeus to be quiet and hush, but Jesus stood still. The crowd, well, we don't have time to stop him. He's on his way to do ministry. I thought people were ministry. I thought hurting people were ministry. I thought people sitting on the side of the road was ministry. I thought people that were strung out on drugs was ministry. I thought people that had earrings and tattoos all over their bodies, I thought that was ministry. I thought people that don't look like us and they don't wear the suits and they don't wear the ties and I'm going to tell you something. As long as you are modest in the house of God, you can wear what you want to. Just keep it modest. I don't want to see your body parts. Just keep it modest. You may not look like me. You don't have to dress like me, but I'm just here to tell you, Jesus has called us to reach those that nobody else wants to reach. He's called us to reach those that nobody else will take time for. He's called us to reach the blind Bartimaeus that is sitting on the side of the road that nobody else will pay attention to, and everybody else would walk by him over and over and over again and said, oh, we ain't got time for you. But one day when Jesus passed by, I'm telling you, when Jesus passes by, he'll pay attention to those who nobody else will pay attention to. He'll give them a time of the day. Why? Because he loves everybody. He don't care how much money you've got. He don't care how much affluence you have. He don't care what your background is. He don't care where you came from. He just knows you're created in his very image. You are a soul that matters, and they ought to matter to you and me because we're created in the very image of God Almighty. That's got to be the Holy Spirit, because I didn't plan on saying any of that. Isn't it something how the Holy Spirit just gives you things right in the middle of a message and you know it's from God? I'm here today. The anointing makes all the difference in the world. He'll make the difference in your life. He'll make the difference in your living. The Holy Spirit of God, when he anoints you, will make a difference when you wake up tomorrow morning and you need the strength to carry on in your daily routine and your job. The Holy Spirit is here to work in your life. You know, the only reason we can call on God is because of his mercy. Notice what he said. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, he could have cried out, Lord, from the very beginning. I can't see and I need to be able to see. Can you help me? But the very first thing he cries out is, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the mercy seat. There's been many times I've had to run to the mercy seat. Woo! And when I've ran to that mercy seat, he was there waiting with arms open wide. I don't know about you, but I've never been able to maximize the quota, if you will, of God's forgiveness. It's never been exhausted. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. That's why we're living in this dispensation of grace. And the time is running out. Jesus is coming soon. You better run to Jesus while you can. You better call on him while you can. You better get serious about God while you can. I'm telling you, God is real. God is moving. God is moving in these last days, and he's pouring out his Holy Spirit to those who are hungry for him. He's still calling us to live that holy and godly and pure life. You better get ready. I'm said, you better get ready, because Jesus is coming again. We've got a responsibility to make sure we are where we need to be with the Lord. Mercy. If judgment were to take place right here and now, this room would be empty. Why? Because none of us really deserve to be here. What we deserve is judgment. What we deserve is that we were hanging on that cross. It never ceases to amaze me, the sense of entitlement that some people have. Like they deserve everything. Serve me on a silver platter, you know? I mean, it's all about them. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. He had the mentality of humility and brokenness and lowliness. May I remind you that he came riding in on a donkey. He could have chosen a more prestigious animal. But he fulfilled the scripture. And how many of you know the next time he comes, he's coming on a white horse. He's coming in power. He's coming in glory, and every eye shall see him. Oh, hallelujah. We are here because God has withheld his judgment. You and I have not lived well enough today to warrant being here, but we are here because of God's mercy. Mercy came running like a prisoner set free. Past all my failures to the point of my need, and the sin that I had carried was all I could see, but mercy came running to me. Hallelujah. Mercy said, no, I'm never gonna let you go. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for Psalm 103, which says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Anybody want to be thankful for that right now? He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. There's the key right now. You've got to have a fear for God. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I love what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever heard people say, I don't come to church because of all the hypocrites? Raise your hand if you heard that one before. First of all, I would say you need to get your eyes off people and get your eyes on the Lord. What if Bartimaeus had listened to all the people? He would have continued to sit there blind. No change. Same old condition, same old place he had been in for many days and possibly years. No change. I'm here to tell you today, if you want change in your situation, you got to get up and do something about it. If you want to walk on the water, you got to get out of the boat. You can't just sit there in the boat and say, well, I want things to change in my life. You got to get up and do something different. If you're doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result, that's the definition of an insanity. If you're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over again and you want a different result, it's not going to happen. You got to change. There comes a time in your life you got to say, I've got to change. Something's got to change in my life. You can't change on your own, but you got to have the mentality that I'm going to change. And if you do, God will help you and bring that change to fruition in your life. There comes a time when you've got to get tired of just sitting on the side of the road, watching everybody else get their blessing. You see, at the end of the day, you're not going to give an account for what is in someone else's heart, but what's in your heart. So keep your eyes on him. Secondly, those who, you know, talk about the hypocrites in the church have misunderstood what the church is all about. We're not here because of any self-righteousness on our part. We're not here because of all the good things that we have done. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Some people need to remind themselves that. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We do good works because we have been saved, not in order to get saved. We are here because we've received God's mercy. The saints, I'm not talking about the NFL team that Drew Brees is the quarterback for. I'm talking about the saints of God. It literally means the holy ones of the church are sinners saved by God's mercy. In other words, we're saved by his grace, and we are here, and we continue to be here because of his mercy. Every single day you wake up is a gift from God. Every breath that you take is breath that he's given you. Jesus stood still. The one who was on an eternal errand from God, Lord of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. This is the one I'm talking about. Jesus stood still. You know, this is just like Jesus, isn't it? Throughout the Gospels, we see this concept, Jesus standing still. He's on his way to Jairus' house to heal a sick little girl, but a woman elbows her way through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus stood still and said, "Who touched me?" He's on his way up to the temple, and he passes by the pool, and he sees a lame man. Jesus stood still. On his way to the grave of Lazarus, he stood still long enough to call him from the tomb. While Jesus was on his way to minister, he ministered along the way. And this is a great concept for you and me. While you're on your way to do your particular task, God just might interrupt your schedule of your day and give you an opportunity to talk to somebody else, to speak hope into their life, to share the gospel, to lay your hands on them, to pray healing in their life. I'm telling you, God wants us to say, "Here I am, God, use me. What do you want to do with me? How do you want to use my life?" We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Every single one of us has a calling. Think about it for a moment. Are you fulfilling your calling? Are you fulfilling your purpose? The Bible says in verse number 50, look at this. I'm trying to start moving towards the end here. Notice I said moving towards it. Let's say I was ending yet. Verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. Perhaps for the first time in his life, somebody had called for him. Think about it. Up until this point, he was calling on everybody else for help. And now, Jesus is calling him. Throwing aside his garment, he came to Jesus. That garment was perhaps a blanket or a loose piece of cloth that kept him warm during the inclement weather. And perhaps it was the only security that he had ever known, because everybody else, it seems, would just kind of just left him by himself, deserted him. He had kept the sun rays off by day and the chill off by night. And there wasn't anything wrong with that, except the text seems to indicate that this garment was getting in the way. It was getting in the way of him physically being able to get up and go to Jesus. Let me ask you a question right here. What is in your way, keeping you from getting to Jesus? What is keeping you from moving toward him? What is hindering you from full commitment to Jesus and his purpose for your life? Why are you still sitting on the sideline? What's keeping you? What is there in your life that you need to cast aside so that you can get to Jesus? I mean, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 12, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You see, there are sins in your life and my life. If we're not careful, they will try to easily ensnare us, and they will become weights in our lives, and they will keep us from getting to Jesus. They will keep us from running the race that he has put us in. If you're not careful, they will latch on to you and weigh you down and become burdens. They'll sidetrack you. They'll get your focus off what is most important. You'll get your eyes on everything else, and you'll lose focus of what Jesus has called you to do. I can just hear Bartimaeus saying, "I'm not going to let anything keep me from getting to Jesus. I've waited too long for this moment. I'm not going to let another one pass me by. Hallelujah. What hinders you here today? What keeps you from getting to where Jesus is? What is there in your life that you need to get rid of so that you can run freely to Him without any kind of baggage attached to you? What did Jesus say in Matthew 11:28? He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, notice what Jesus said to him. After he's got Jesus' attention, he's called for him, he threw aside his garment, he came to Jesus. I can just imagine this crowd has gotten quiet because they want to know what's going to happen next. By the way, the very ones that was telling him to hush, I believe, are the ones that Jesus said, "I want you to go get that man and bring him to me." How many of you know that the Lord will make a table before you in the very presence of your enemies? God has a way of turning things around if you'll just be faithful. Just be faithful to Him. Just keep loving. Just keep having a good attitude. Just keep forgiving. Keep going to the foot of the cross and saying, "Lord, I don't want any bitterness in my heart. Do your work in me, Lord Jesus. Oh, work on me, Lord. I know that I'm praying about him, and I'm praying about her, and I'm praying about these other situations. But in the process of that, Lord, I'm asking you to change me, because change starts with us." Notice what he said next. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" To me, this is that ultimate question of love. What do you want me to do for you? Aren't you glad we serve a loving, caring, compassionate God that calls for us? He calls for us in our situations, and then he says, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" A blank check, if you will. What is it you want me to do for you? May I ask you a personal question? What do you want Jesus to do for you today? What is your greatest need as you sit in this congregation this morning? What is your biggest burden? Some of you have walked into this house with some burdens on your mind and weighing on your spirit. I know what it is to be burdened down. Anybody know what it is to carry burdens? I know where you're at. I know what it is to feel those burdens and carry those burdens. May I make a suggestion to you? Do what Bartimaeus did and bring it to Jesus. That's what he did. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you have searched for me with all your heart." You got to bring it to Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you." He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask." You know, it all starts with asking. Some people are so prideful, they just don't want to ask. They want to try to figure it out themselves. I'll figure this out myself. I don't need God's help. Let me know how that works out for you. Because you were never meant to live your life isolated, first of all, from God and from the help of one another. So he says, "Ask and you shall receive." I pray that you would see this in a fresh way today, because some of you have heard the scripture all your life, but I pray the Holy Spirit would illuminate it in your mind in a fresh way. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah. For everyone who asks receives, him who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door shall be opened. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And I ask you this question as we move to prayer time. And I want you to think about what it is that you're burdened down with. What is it you're wrestling with today? Some of you are wrestling with the grip of sin, and you're under conviction, and the Spirit of God is trying to get your attention. You need Jesus in your life. You need to turn from sin and turn to God. You're trying to do this on your own. You're running from God. It's time to stop running. Run to Him. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. But whatever it is that's weighing you down today, here's what Jesus is saying. What do you want me to do for you? Do you have it in mind? Raise your hand if you've got it in mind. You know what it is. Come on. There ought to be hands going up. All you got needs in your life. I want you to stand, please. I want you to stand. You've got it in mind. I'm telling you, God is going to do something powerful here in this altar service this morning. I feel it rising in my spirit right now. I feel it rising. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit led me to deliver this message to you today because He wants to meet needs in your life. He says, what do you want me to do for you? If you've got it in mind, I want you to step out from where you are now. Come on, step out and meet me down on this altar. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Do you believe that I'm a miracle worker? Do you believe that I can make a way where there seems to be no way? Do you believe that I can touch you like I did Bartimaeus? Do you believe that I can have compassion and mercy on you? Do you believe that I'm the same God that I've always been, same yesterday, today, and forever? Now I want you to express that, because here's what Bartimaeus said. He said, that I might receive my sight. And the Bible says that he was healed. Hallelujah. Can you imagine seeing that? The very first thing he was able to see is the Son of God standing right in front of him. Oh, glory to God. The one who created him. In his very image, he saw Jesus. He saw light. Oh, hallelujah. He was able to see the sunrise and the sunset. He was able to see all these beautiful colors. He was able to see all these wonderful things that we take for granted every single day. He received his sight. It was a miracle. What do you want God to do for you? I want you to lift your hand now at where you are, and I want you to begin to cry out to God. This is what I want you to do for me, Lord. I'm asking you to do this. Do you believe He's hearing you? This is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to do in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in my kids, on my job. This is what I'm asking you to do in my heart, because, Lord, there's been some things in my heart that's not right. Oh God, this is what I'm asking you to do. Speak to me, Lord. Change me, oh God. Change me, oh God. Here I am. Hallelujah. Come on, cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him, church. Hallelujah. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm giving it to you. I'm casting it on you. I roll my burdens over onto you, Jesus. I'm giving it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now here's what I want you to do. Bartimaeus didn't care anymore about what people thought. He said, I'm going to lift up my voice. I think there's a breakthrough in the house. As we lift up our voices, you don't have to do this every single time. I know that, but this morning, God is calling us to lift our voice. He's calling you to lift your voice. Come on, as loud as you can lift your voice. Come on, lift it up. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me.
Lift up your hands, receive it. Here in the presence of the Lord, mercy is falling. out your hands, receive it.
Here in the presence.
Here in the presence of the Lord, mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord, mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord, I know your past is broken.